This podcast is a production of Crosspoint Church. Visit us online at crosspointwithane.org.
Let's just say, you know, we said at the very beginning of this series that every time you're tempted, there's more at stake. There's always more at stake than what we think in the moment. And that one of the things that's at stake for all of us is a little slice of our future. And it's one of the reasons that if you're familiar with Johnny Cash or familiar with his life story, that video is so haunting. Because in it, what you have is Johnny Cash looking back on his life, and he's looking back on these decisions and choices that he's made, and you can just feel this real sense of hurt and pain and regret as he's realizing not only the damage that he's done to himself, but the damage that he's done to his family and to those that he's loved and those that have depended on him. And so stories like that are why we've been doing this series of teachings, so that we wouldn't find ourselves in a similar spot where we look back on our life, you know, a day from now or 6 months from now or a decade from now or even a lifetime from now, where we look back and we find ourselves filled with this great sense of pain and regret. But rather that what we would do is we would take the time to stop in these moments of temptation, these things that have taken us down paths that we didn't really want to go down, that we'd take time to stop in those moments and we would play the movie forward on our life. And we would realize that there is more at stake than just this moment. And that we would take the time, you know, in series like this and through study and through just asking questions and self-examination, trying to figure out what is it that we need to understand? What is it that we need to see? What needs to happen in order for us to kind of connect the dots and so that it can click for us, so that we can understand that there's more going on than what we see right in front of us, and that we can actually gain some traction. We can make some progress. We can make some changes, break some habits on some things that we've been longing to break, but that we just keep get frustrated by, that we keep falling to again and again. And so that's where we've been these last couple weeks, trying to realize that there's always more at stake than this moment right in front of us. And then asking the question, well, then how can we live this kind of life that each of us longs to live, this kind of life that God invites us into and that God says, this is the best life possible. But as we continue, our ushers are going to come forward and they're going to give us just an opportunity before we dive into this, just to give us another opportunity to worship God and to trust Him with our finances. And this is a real tangible way to say, here, God, we trust You. And so if you'd like to participate in that way and worship God, then we invite you to do that. And as they do, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn back to Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew chapter 4 is where we've been the last few weeks. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll be happy to put the scriptures on the screen behind me. At the beginning of this series, I'd mentioned guys like Henry Cloud and Andy Stanley had a lot of influence, and these thoughts have been soaking on for the last few months. And so people have asked me about different more resources and where they can go to study and to gain some more traction and help in these areas. And Henry Cloud, especially, he wrote a book called 9 Things You Simply Must Do. And just a great read, great book. He talks a lot about this concept of playing the movie forward. And this is a real important book kind of in my own journey and understanding some things and getting some leverage on some areas of temptation. So I'd encourage you to pick that up, any bookstore on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of those kind of places. But here, back to Matthew 4, we find Jesus in the desert. And he's been fasting there for 40 days, and the tempter comes alongside him. And Jesus wrestles with three specific temptations that are put in front of him. And one of the things that we said the first week was that every temptation that you and I face, no matter what it is, can be linked back to what's at stake in the midst of one of these three temptations of Jesus. And so today we come to this last temptation, and it's a temptation that all of us face, but it's especially tempting for those of us that may be what we call driven kind of people. Those of us that tend to be goal-oriented or are ambitious, people that have, you know, big dreams. Those among us that don't like to just kind of sit back and settle for just being average or just settle for the status quo, but those of us that are just driven to succeed and make progress and achieve. It doesn't matter what area of your life it is. It may be with your career. It may be with your finances. It may be with your kids' future. It may be about what your home looks like. It may be with your health. But there's just this thing. There's this fire, this passion that just burns inside of you that just drives you and won't let you
settle for just average. Now, I imagine that there's a lot of you here because we just have a lot of those people around here in the Triangle area. And, you know, I tend to be one of those kind of people. And we have a lot of those people that are kind of attracted to our community here. But somehow, and we talked about this several months ago, we somehow mistakenly, oftentimes, if you're one of those kind of people, we mistakenly think that being a follower of Jesus and being driven and having ambition are incompatible with one another. And so when we think that, what happens is it's usually one of two things. Either we get filled with this great sense of guilt and we just think that we're wrong, and so we have to kind of hide that part of our life and deny it and think that we're wrong for thinking that way. Or we just compartmentalize it and say, you know what, that doesn't have anything to do with God, and so I'll just keep that part of my life and kind of my career or, you know, with my job or with my kids. But when it comes to God, then I'll just kind of slow down into this kind of passive approach or just kind of a laissez-faire type of attitude. Well, whatever happens, you know, it'll just happen. And what happens is when we do that is that we forget. We forget that the scriptures say that you and I, all of us, are created in the image of God. The same God who looked out into the chaos, who looked out into the nothingness, as the scripture says, and took initiative. He took action. He said, I'm tired of there being nothing. And he created the universe. And so we all have some of that stamped into our being. Some of that initiative, some of that desire for progress and to achieve, because we're created in God's image. And so if you find yourself kind of wired for progress or wired to push forward and achieve, you need to understand that's a God-honoring type of thing. But there's something that you also need to be aware of. That thing in you that drives you and that just makes you passionate and you're kind of wired for, it also sets you up for a very specific temptation that we're going to look at this morning. That as you zero in on certain goals and as you get so focused on the future and on certain achievements, this temptation can very subtly creep in and derail you from the life that God wants to lead you into. And so it's at this same point of temptation that we find the tempter finally bring Jesus to here in Matthew chapter 4. And so I want you to look with me there, Matthew 4, starting with verse 8. It says, again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, scholars have all sorts of different opinions on what this scene actually looks like or what was really going on. I mean, some see this, as it's written, as a supernatural event where somehow the devil miraculously showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor at one time. And at one point, that seemed like a pretty far-fetched idea. But now, I mean, that we have satellite imagery and now that we have things like Google Earth and now that we have those kinds of things, you know, it doesn't seem like this completely unimaginable type of thing that this would be possible. But others lean toward the idea that the tempter actually takes Jesus maybe onto a mountain that overlooks Jerusalem, and that in essence, Jerusalem was kind of a symbolic picture of all the kingdoms of the world, this representation of all the people. But regardless of where you come out on that, the point is what the tempter tempts him with. Verse 9. All this I will give you, he said, if you, Jesus, will bow down and worship me. Now, here's the question that we have to sort through. We got to ask this, because we have to ask, why is this even a temptation for Jesus? I mean, why does this even tempt him? And see, in order to figure that out, we've got to go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis when God first created man. Because when God created man, what he did was he said, okay, you now are in charge. You now have authority over creation. And God commanded man, you subdue it, you be creative with it, you rule over it. It is under your authority. But there came a point when man chose to sin. And in essence, what he did was when he sinned, when he first made that choice to say, I'm going to go against God's plan, he said, I no longer trust God as the authority in my life. I'm going to trust something else. I'm not going to trust God's ways. I'm going to trust either my own ways or I'm going to trust the way that someone else. I'm going to put myself under someone else's authority. And so, back to Matthew 4, notice what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, wait a second. This is not yours to give. This kind of authority that you're talking about, being able to have all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor, you know what? That kind of authority to rule and to have in possession of all those, that doesn't belong to you. Notice, Jesus never says that. Jesus never argues with him. Jesus never disagrees that what the tempter is offering isn't his to give. And the reason he doesn't is because of what started back in Genesis 1. And central to Jesus' mission in coming to earth, one of his goals that he was driven by and focused on was to break the bondage and the power of sin that was over all of creation. And that core, foundational to Jesus' mission, was to set the world free from the bondage and the slavery that sin had caused, and to reclaim authority over it. And by doing so, inviting people like you and I, into his kingdom, under his rule, under his authority, under his trusted leadership, where we could be led into a life of freedom and grace, not a life of bondage, not a life of fear, not a life of condemnation. That's why, if you think about it, if you're familiar at all with the kind of the rest of the New Testament, after Jesus dies on the cross and he's buried and he's resurrected from the dead, after all of that, right before at the very end of Matthew chapter 28, we see Jesus appear to the disciples before he ascends into heaven. And right at the beginning of that famous passage of Scripture that's become known as kind of the Great Commission, the very first line, we sometimes forget this, is what Jesus says there. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." And so after Jesus' death, his death that paid the penalty that sin demanded, and after his resurrection that broke the power, the enemy's power over creation, at this point, Jesus announces, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You see, it was through Jesus' sacrifice, through his resurrection, that he reclaimed that authority. In doing so, he made it possible for people like you and I to enter into God's kingdom. And so at this point, understand, Jesus, in Matthew 28, he's accomplished what he set out to do. But now we're in Matthew 4. And Matthew 4 is about a little more than 3 years before that point. And so 3 years before that point, the tempter comes to Jesus and says, Listen, you know that thing you want? You know that thing you came here for? I'll give it to you. You can have it. And you know what? You don't have to go through all the suffering. No pain, no cross, no people spitting on you, no flogging. You know, I'll give it to you right now. And all you have to do is bow down to me for a moment. Listen, Jesus, I'm not even asking you to do it forever. This isn't a lifetime kind of thing. Just a moment, just in this one moment, would you bow down and submit yourself to my authority? I mean, Jesus, it's just me and you up here. I mean, we're at this huge mountaintop. Nobody's looking. Nobody has to know. Just for this moment, submit yourself to my authority and you can have that thing that you want so badly. So you need to understand that this is a real temptation for Jesus. This isn't something you can just shrug off. I mean, the scriptures say Jesus is tempted. And I imagine that we can relate to those kind of moments where maybe you find yourself where you have this certain goal in mind. There's a particular future that you desire, a particular position that you want. And understand, you need to get this. It doesn't mean that it's a bad goal. It doesn't mean that it's bad what you want or the future that you have in mind is wrong. It may be exactly what you've been educated for. It may be exactly what you've been trained for, what you have been prepared for your entire life. And even more than that, it may be exactly what God has in mind for you. You know what? That very thing that you have your heart set on and that very thing that drives you so much may be the very thing that God desires for your life. In fact, God is the one who wired you that way. It may be that God put that very desire in your heart because that's what he's created you for. But here's the temptation. A day will come or a moment will come when you will be tempted to take a giant leap forward toward that goal. You're going to see it out there and you're going to see that it's possible to get it right now. And you're going to be tempted to take a giant leap toward it. But to do so and to grab it now means that you're going to have to check some things at the door. You might have to check a value. You might have to check some of your morality. You might have to check a slice of your integrity. You're going to have to bend the rules a little bit to grab it now. And listen, this is the subtleness of the temptation. It's not a forever kind of a thing. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. You have to look the other way. Just for a moment. You have to bend the rules. And here's what the temptation will sound like. It'll sound like, come on. I'm not asking you to abandon them forever, your values forever. It's not like you're becoming a completely different person. Just for a moment, this is no big deal. Nobody's looking. Nobody's around. And so we start to rationalize it in our head. It starts to make a little more sense. We start to justify it, and we think, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm looking around. I don't see any other way I can get there. There it is, right in front of me, right now. And if, I mean, after all, if that's the position I want to be in, if that's the goal I want to reach, if that's the future I desire, the place that I want to be, you know what, man, as I'm looking around, I don't see any other way that it can happen unless I do this. And besides, you know, once I'm there, I mean, once I've just bended the rules just for a little bit, just for a moment, once I get to the other side, once I've reached this place that I've been wanting to go, this position that I want to be, this spot that I want to have, then yeah, I'll get back to my values. I'm going to come back to God in His ways. I'm not abandoning them forever. I mean, and actually, once I'm there, once I'm in that spot, I'll be able to do more things. I'll be able to have more influence on people. I'll be able to help more people. I'll be able to make more money so I can give more money away. You know, I'm going to be able to provide better for my family. I'm going to be able to make changes and have influence on things that need to be done. You know what? Yeah, once I'm there, then yeah, I'm going to get back exactly to my values and convictions. But you see, while you see that right in front of you and you know that you can grab it right in front of you just for a moment, you think, you know, you just have to look the other way. Just for a moment. I've got to bend the rules. Just for the moment. Maybe I just don't disclose everything on the form. Maybe I just compromise my morals. Maybe I just step outside of God's way just for this moment. Just temporarily, not forever. So you find yourself in a job. Maybe in your management, you're out there in corporate America and you're trying to move up in the company and the position that you really want opens up. And there's three other people out there that are just as qualified for the job maybe as you are and that want that same job. And so you're looking around thinking, how in the world am I going to ensure that I can get this job? And so you find yourself tempted maybe to bash some of the other candidates, you know, maybe to try to do some damage to their reputation, because somehow you have to set yourself apart. Somehow you have to make it seem like you're the only one for the job and you don't see any other way that you can kind of make yourself look better. Or maybe, you know, we saw this play out here in the news at MIT the past few days. Maybe you saw it on CNN or another news channel. Or you're applying for a very competitive job. In order to get noticed, you know, in order to create some separation between you and the other candidates, the only way that you see that happening is that you have to exaggerate about some of your accomplishments, exaggerate about some of your experiences. You have to pad your resume so that you can convince some people that you're actually qualified. Maybe you're a student and academics is very important to you. Maybe sports is your whole world and you have your heart set on like a certain GPA or qualifying for a certain scholarship or getting to a certain school or playing D1 ball. Or maybe you've been working toward this for years and you find yourself in this one particular moment where you've convinced yourself, okay, it all hinges on this. And that the only way that I can get there, the only way that I can continue to make march forward toward that goal and to make that happen is I'm going to have to cheat on this one test. I'm going to maybe I have to cheat with these drugs or these steroids. I'm going to have to bend the rules this one time in order to make it happen. Otherwise, if I don't see any other way that this thing doesn't come crashing all down. And so just this one moment, I've got to kind of step outside of God's ways. Perhaps you're not married yet. Maybe you find yourself craving companionship, craving intimacy. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I don't know if this is ever going to happen for me. I don't know if I'm ever going to find love. And so if I actually want to be with somebody, if I want someone who actually loves me, then I'm going to have to compromise some of my morals a little bit. I'm going to have to step outside of God's way because that's just how the world works. You know what? If you want a relationship, if you want a boyfriend, if you want a girlfriend, if you want a spouse, then this is just how you play the game these days. And so, you know what? You find yourself tempted to do things maybe that you thought you would never do and stepping outside of God's ways. But you say, I don't see any other way than to get this future that I desire. You know, maybe you're a mom and maybe you're really ambitious about your kids. Maybe you're just driven to see them succeed and accomplish certain goals. And maybe you even just struggle with, you know, even letting them play too much because you're just worried that if they waste too much time, they're going to miss out on some of these dreams and some of these goals that you have in mind for them. And maybe things aren't falling into place exactly as you hoped and some obstacles in the way. And so you find yourself in this moment where, you know what, if this is going to happen, if they're going to reach these goals or accomplish these certain things, then I've got to step in and I've got to manipulate some circumstances here. I got to manipulate some other people because this is their future that's at stake. And if I don't take care of it, if I don't do this, then nobody else is going to. Or maybe for you, what drives you is a certain kind of house or a certain kind of car. I mean, you know you can't afford it, but here this opportunity comes up with super low financing. And even though it'll put your family in some serious debt that you really can't afford, you don't see any other way than to make it happen unless you jump on this opportunity now. You see, behind every single temptation, doesn't matter what it is, it lies this very same question that battles within us. And you want to know what's at stake. You want to know the more that's at stake every time we're tempted. It's this question. This question that we wrestle through. If I pass on this opportunity, can I trust God to meet my needs? Can I trust God to lead me to the best life possible? Or do I have to take matters into my own hands and shortcut the path God has for me? Because again, understand, the goal that you desire, the future you desire, the intimacy, the promotion, the scholarship, the very thing that you find yourself wired for and desiring, it may all very well be in God's plans for you. But what's at stake is, do I trust that God can lead me there to that point when the time is right? Do I trust that God can lead me there when the time is right without checking out on God's ways? Or do I have to take matters into my own hands? Do I have to take a shortcut? Do I have to compromise on what's important, on what I value, on my confidence in God for what's immediate and what I feel like I have to grab right now? You see, that's the point that the tempter brings Jesus to up on the mountain. Because before him, he presents this opportunity to say, you can have what you came for now. I'll give it to you without all the suffering, without all the pain. And it's not only himself that Jesus is thinking about. I mean, consider Jesus is thinking about, here's 3.5 more years where people, you know, are going to die. And perhaps they'll never know God's extent and God's love, the extent of God's love for them. And so here's the tempter saying, you know what? You trust me. You know what? I'm going to lead you. You can have it now. Would you just trust me? This is the way that you should get this, that you came for, that you desire. I'll help you accomplish your mission. Don't listen to God. Don't trust him. Trust me. There's a better way. And Jesus, he realizes, and this is what we have to get in these moments of temptation. Jesus realizes that there's more at stake going on. And so he says, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, as Jesus has done each time as we've looked at these temptations previously, the last couple weeks, he reaches back into the story of Israel in the Old Testament and their own 40-year journey in the desert, and he references a speech that Moses gives to the Israelites as they were about to enter into the promised land. And so Moses gets all of them together. He says, listen, you know, I need to remind you of a few things, because I know once you get into this land that God has prepared for you and promised you, once you get there, and you're going to just be so overwhelmed with the beauty and wonder of it all, and you're going to be bent on, you know, building your own cities and building your own infrastructure and building your own economy, and it's going to be really tempting for you once things are going on pretty well to look back and forget who it is that got you there, to forget whose blessing brought you through this journey. And so look at what Moses says to him in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Fear, and that same idea as reverence or as worship, as Jesus references back to it. Here's what Jesus says. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. And so when Jesus references this speech, he's not only referencing this line, he's referencing the context of the story and what Moses was trying to explain. And what Jesus is doing, he's saying, listen, I'm not going to forget that it's God who's been faithful to me all the way to this point. Now, why in the world am I going to forget that it's God who's provided me with the strength and the perseverance, who's been faithful all the way throughout history? Why am I going to forget at this moment that it's God who's given me the very opportunity to make a way of salvation possible? So why would I abandon God's plan now? Why would I trust another plan? Why would I think that I can make this thing happen better on my own terms or on someone else's terms rather than God's? And so he says, away from me, Satan. He said, away from me. I'm not going to forget God's faithfulness. I'm not going to just buy into a whole other plan all of a sudden when I look back and can see how God has been faithful over and over again. So maybe the promotion feels like it's up for grabs and you just don't see it any other way. And what's going to happen is, in those moments, you're going to be tempted to forget and to not realize and to not think through, you know what, who gave me this opportunity to even be in this position in the first place? Well, God did. Who gave you the mind? Who gave you the skills? Who gave you the intelligence to be able to actually perform this job? Well, God did. Well, yeah, look back on your life. Think through all the different obstacles that you've had to go through even to get to this point. Who's carried you through those? Who's been faithful to you through those moments? God has. See, in those moments, what we have to stop and we have to think about is to say, why in the world then would we not think that God isn't big enough, isn't powerful enough to make this happen for us if this opportunity is really what's best for us? If we can trust that God has our best interest in mind, and we can trust that God loves us and that God is always leading us into the best life possible, why can we not trust that God isn't big enough to make this happen and to give us this desire of our heart if this is what really is best for us? Maybe with your kids, you so desperately want them to achieve certain goals and you find yourself struggling with trying to control every aspect of their lives. And again, you're faced with a moment where if you want to take the next step, then you're going to have to bend some rules. You're going to have to manipulate some circumstances. And we don't think about it in those moments. We don't stop long enough to realize, you know, man, who gave us those kids in the first place? Yeah, God did. Yeah, who loves these children even more than I do? Yeah, God does. Who's faithful in giving them breath and giving them life each day? Yeah, God is. Then isn't God big enough, faithful enough to lead your kids to the point and to the place that's best for them in His ways and His time? And yet we find ourselves thinking, you know what? Yeah, I know all that. It just feels like I have to do something. This moment's right in front of me. If I don't grab it now, it just feels like I'm going to miss out on this opportunity. I'm going to miss out on this thing that I've wanted so badly. And understand, it feels that way because it's a temptation. That's why it feels that way. But you see, in those moments of decision, here's what you discover. And this is so central. You discover who it is that you really trust more. Do you trust yourself? Do you trust temptation? Or do you trust God? That's what's at stake every time. It hinges on our confidence in God. And so as we wrap this series up, I mean, what is it for you? I mean, what is it for you maybe that you want so badly that you're finding yourself tempted to trade what's really important? What you really value for what's right in front of you, for what's immediate. Or maybe you find yourself tempted to just set aside God's ways and your trust in God's faithfulness just for a moment. To take matters into your own hands and kind of shortcut the path God has for you. See, here's what I wish. Here's what I wish for you. I wish for all of us that there would come a moment, that there would come a day when you would walk away from something that you want really badly in order to follow Jesus, in order to trust Jesus. Because when you do that, in those moments, you'll be able to see God's provision and His faithfulness come through in a way that you otherwise may have completely missed. That doesn't mean that you'll see it right away. It may mean that several years down the road, you look back on your life and think, wow, God really did have my best interest in mind. Which is why every temptation comes down to discovering that there is way more at stake than what we think in the moment. And that ultimately everything hinges on, do I have confidence that God is faithful and that He and His ways are always leading me, always, into the best life possible. So maybe you've been going through this with us, you know, the last few weeks, and you've been thinking, man, you know what? I've really blown it. I mean, there's just some areas where I've really screwed up. I've not only hurt myself, but I've hurt friends, I've hurt family, I've hurt my future. And maybe kind of how the tempter kept coming after Jesus and saying, no, if you're really the Son of God and questioning your identity, maybe that's what you keep hearing from the tempter, maybe in your own mind. You know what? You really think you're a child of God? You really think you love God? What are you doing in church? After what you've done? After all that you've done? I know what you did. And you keep hearing that, and it just beats you up, and you feel nothing but guilt and condemnation because the tempter just keeps reminding you of your past and what you've done. And maybe, Maybe this morning what you need to hear and what you need to embrace is what God says about you, what the Scripture says about you. God says there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the Scripture says, for God did not send His Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so maybe this series, and maybe kind of the walk away point for you, is that this could be just this tangible marker for you on your journey, where you could take time to look back and say, you know, yeah, man, I have messed up. But that you could embrace God's forgiveness and His grace that His Son Jesus came to make possible for you, that you would embrace it. And that together as individuals and as a community, we would say, God, I'm going to turn back to You. God, Your ways are trustworthy. God, I recognize that You are good. I recognize that You love me and that You always have my best interest in mind. And so, God, I'm going to turn back to You and I'm going to trust You. And when I fall, I'm going to trust Your grace. I'm going to trust Your forgiveness, that I'm a forgiven person. And I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep following Your ways, because You're worthy, God. You're so worthy of our trust. Father, we thank You for Your word, and I just thank You for this season and this series of teachings that we could walk through together. And God, I just pray that it would be kind of a hinge moment for lots of us, where there would be habits and temptations that we've struggled with and found ourselves falling to over and over again, where God, where we would be able to make some progress, we'd be able to make some changes, break some habits, God, that we could find ourselves ushered into this life of freedom and grace that You want us to experience and that You want us to enjoy, where we're not always looking over our shoulder, where we're not always just carrying all this guilt. But God, that we could stand up tall in Your grace and rest in that. And so God, we love You. Would You give us the courage and the confidence, God, just to turn back to You, and that we would see not guilt, that we would see not anger in Your face, but we would see You as You really are, with arms wide open, filled with love and grace and forgiveness, ready to embrace us and carry us along in the journey again. God, we love You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, it's interesting. Jesus, He comes to this intense season of temptation. And you can imagine, He's drained physically. He's drained emotionally, spiritually. Every aspect of Him is just completely wiped out. Look at what the Scriptures say following up this verse 11 of Matthew 4. It says, then the devil left Him, and angels came and attended Him. But we often miss verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He returned to Galilee. So immediately after angels attend Him, immediately after this season of just trial and temptation, He finds out His cousin, He loved, who He adored and partnered with, he's been put in prison. Isn't that just like life so many times for us, where we find ourselves coming out of, just a really difficult time, and we think, okay, you know what, now things are finally going to get better. You know, things can't get any worse. God, got me through this time, and so, okay, now I can breathe for a while. And then all of a sudden, just something unexpected, something completely out of our control, just boom, drops into our world. And we're like, not again. And we start wondering, where's God? Does God care? Does God know? And see, and the truth of the Scriptures become even more alive when it says, as we talked about this, 2 weeks ago, that the Scriptures say that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. You see, Jesus understands. He knows. He knows how we feel. And He knows that God is faithful through that. And we wonder, where is God? Where is God? Does it mean that following Him makes life easy? Does it mean that life is always comfortable? He says He's going to invite us into the best life possible. Not the most comfortable or the easiest, but the best life possible. And so we need to trust that and trust Him and trust His leadership in our lives. And so in moments like that, when we're wondering where He is, and we'd say, you know what, God, He's right there. He hasn't let go of us. Through the storms and through the pain and through all the difficult times, God hasn't let go. He hasn't let go. And so I'm going to invite you to stand up with me. And just as a community, that as we kind of wrap this whole thing up, that we can sing that out to God, and we can remind ourselves that through it all, God, He is never, ever going to let go of us. No matter what pain we're going through, no matter what temptation that we're struggling through, He doesn't let go. We can celebrate that. We can cling to that and pray and beg God for the strength to hold on as tightly as possible.